Good morning, my dear friends. Skip here. 7:36 a.m., March 23rd. It's a Saturday. Take four. Take four of this morning's episode of Finding Meaning. I am having a real struggle with a puppy who wants to play. He is still on my lap. I hope that you are being entertained somewhat by my struggles with our new dog. He is just the cutest thing, and he's a good boy, but he is a puppy. And so if I can keep him calm for the next 10 or 15 minutes, hopefully I can say something useful. And I do hope that you appreciate the relaxed vibe of the podcast. I'm just a guy who lives in South Central Iowa who's a substitute teacher. I'm sitting in my Lazy Boy recliner in my Pink Floyd sweatpants with a t-shirt talking into my phone. That's it. So I hope that you, you guys, you should do a podcast. It's pretty easy. Anyway, let's get to our topic before the puppy attacks me again. I want to talk about fear. How much of our life is based in unreasonable fear? How much of the false reality that we've created is based in fear? If I was to name one ingredient of the false reality, it would be fear. I think it's the base alloy, if you will. The main ingredient of the false reality that we've created. Now, I think there are times when we should be afraid. I live in a state where we often have tornadoes. If there's a tornado warning, you should be afraid enough to respond appropriately. If you see a rabid dog in the street, cross the street, right? Get away from the rabid dog. So what I'm talking about here is not sort of natural fight or flight evolution. What I'm talking about is the perpetuation of fear to perpetuate systems, be they political, religious, economic, because that's really part, well, mostly what the false reality is made of. So let me give you a few examples. I want you to think for a second when the last time you may have gotten through a day without being told you should be afraid of something. So if you watch TV, and a lot of people do, if you watch commercial TV, which is more rare now, by the way, but you will see at any given time advertisements for insurance, be afraid of this, be afraid of that, be afraid you don't have enough coverage if, you know, a motorcycle crashes into your house or whatever. See a lot of pharmaceuticals, and you know, folks, there's certainly nothing wrong with improving one's life through good health care, but man, I think sometimes every other commercial is a commercial presenting a better medicine. You should be afraid of a disease, or you should be even afraid of the medication you're taking. And, you know, do I even need to mention the news? The news has become a fear-based perpetuation of profit, of income. You know, back in the day when I was little, young man, you turn on the news, they would give you the news, and then you'd shut it off and go about your life. But now it's just a bombardment of opinion, mostly based in fear. And so every day, you know, in some way we deal with fear. Fear for our health, fear for our family. Some of it's natural. you know? But a lot of it, I think, I'm convinced, is perpetuated in order to maintain the status quo of the matrix, of the false reality. If people can keep your anxiety, our anxiety, ramped up, we become easier to make a profit off of. And, you know, that's not a conspiracy theory. It's a pretty basic fact. If I can convince you that, you know, you should be afraid of something and then offer you a choice, chances are, because you don't want to be afraid, you'll buy the choice, or you'll buy some other choice. Think for a second about the basis of religion. You know, I served for 20 years in a pretty, you know, mainstream, middle-of-the-road denomination, in a Protestant denomination. And even though there was a lot of talk about openness to, you know, openness and inclusion, and all people are welcome, and etc., that there was still a vow you had to take that made you align yourself with a set of principles, saying that your principles were right, basically, and others were wrong. Now, they weren't worded that way, but anytime you perpetuate an oath, anytime you make people take an oath around something, you're pledging allegiance to a set of ideas. And in order for that set of ideas to carry weight, other ideas must be wrong. And it's a very subtle and frustrating thing to be a part of. So, you know, religion, and every religion, it's not just Christianity, but, you know, every religion to some degree has within it that notion that they're right because others are wrong. And what inevitably that leads to is being afraid of the other, is believing yourself superior to the other. And from that comes fear. From that comes a need to judge. We have created a reality that forces us, if we want to get along in that reality, to judge others. In order to judge others, we must think of ourselves in some way as superior. You know, we have superior insurance. We have superior medicine. We have a superior political thought. We have a superior religion. The minute we make that delineation, the minute we make it, the minute we believe that there's some separation between us and others because of belief or because of color, what have you, then we create the basis for fear. We create an opening in our psyche for fear to take root. And I don't think we're aware of that. I don't think we're aware of it because it's how our reality is created. We are so conditioned to be afraid that we think being afraid is normal. Let me tell you a little story. I got a text from a very dear friend the other day. He was at a gas station, and he wanted to show me, so he took a picture, and there's a little note stuck to the gas pump that said, "You must accept Jesus or you're in real trouble," right? Now, the person who stuck that note on that gas pump thought they were doing something right, believed they were right, and believed people like my friend who were using the gas pump were wrong. My friend and I had a discussion about it. We both agreed it's very manipulative and very false reality-centered. But think about the mindset that would do that. You know, you that person who put that note on that gas pump truly was afraid of not believing the right thing and has truly convinced themselves they do because they're afraid not to. And so what they did is they judged everyone who used that gas pump and saw that note as less than them. Brothers and sisters, that is the false reality in a nutshell. That's it. Whenever we say, our side's right, your side's wrong. Whenever we say, you must be like us. Whenever we put those delineations and distinctions. Whenever we say, the medicine I take for my sinuses or for my allergies is better than yours. We are living, even if that sounds inane and silly, we are living in a false reality. Now, hear me. There's always a caveat with me, you know that. That there is right or wrong, right? You can't justify harming other people. You can't justify intentionally harming other people, for sure. So, you know, you have to be able to say, you know, that's harmful. But that idea of harm, that idea of judging others, that is based in the false reality. That is a false reality notion. And I would say this. I truly believe, and dream with me here for a second, that if everyone could live out of love, and I think Jesus was pretty clear on this, if I may, Buddha also, if you could live out of love and self-awareness and kindness, there would be no people harming each other. Now, I know that's a pipe dream, and that's not going to happen in our reality, at least not for a very long time. You know, when Jesus was asked what the greatest law was, he said love, right? If you love one another, you're not going to harm, at least not intentionally. But what we do is we create circumstances that seem harmful. And we do that so we can perpetuate the reality we find ourselves in. If I can make you afraid enough, you'll vote for the right party. If I can make you afraid enough, you know, if someone can make you afraid enough, you'll go to the right religion. If someone can make you afraid enough, you'll buy the right, you know, eggs. And it's everywhere. It permeates. As a matter of fact, I think it probably is. Ignorance and fear are the code. That's the code for the false reality we live in. There's this great scene in the Matrix movie, and you know by now it's one of my favorites, where they're looking at the, you know, you see the code of the Matrix on the computer screen, and it's all these numbers and symbols, and the guy says to the other guy, we watch the Matrix in code. Well, if you want to know what the code is for the false reality we live in, it's fear and ignorance. And if you can dispel those things through love and kindness, you can see pretty clearly. And if you want to know, I think what's become very difficult in our modern age is that we have more avenues for fear to enter into our life. As much as I reassure my children, they're all very afraid. They live in a fear-based world. And the actions of people in the world are often fear-based. I have a 22-year-old son who's 22. And in his lifetime, the span of his lifetime, 9/11, two wars, two economic crises, and a pandemic. He does not know anything before September 11, 2001. He was born in 2001, in December, actually. So his whole concept of the world is based in this perpetual afraid mode. And I think that's why it seems as though, and maybe it isn't, but it seems as though to me that the false reality is getting more entrenched. And what that means is we need to come back with more love and kindness. I want to say this and then I'll end. Ignorance and fear are what the false reality is made out of. Love and kindness is the answer. Thanks, guys. I'll try to talk to you tomorrow morning. See you then. Bye-bye.